lanes and byways of life. Many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone
And that's what I want to be to you today. To share with you the goodness and the love and the wonder of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I come to you this morning with a message of cheer, a message of comfort, a message of victory, a message of peace, whereby I desire to be a blessing to you. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Tell the sweet story of Christ and his love. Tell of his power to forgive. Others will trust him if only you prove true every moment you live. Give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. And that should be our prayer for all of us. And whether you go to the office or the factory or you just stay at home and someone calls you on the telephone, whatever contact that you have with anybody today, may God make you a blessing to them. Because all around us, people are hurting. People are crying. People's lives are sunk in despair so often. And many times they can be laughing and smiling on the outside, but crying on the inside. That's why we need to be careful what we say, how we treat people. Treat them with care. Treat them as though they were a fragile package and handle it with loving kindness. Because those around you, whether you know it or not, may be passing through something that you have no idea what they're wrestling with and how they're struggling, and just some cross word or some careless word can be the thing that breaks the camel's back. But let your conversation be seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. and let everything that proceeds out of your mouth be unto edifying and to please God and to be a blessing to those around you. Well, I do count it a privilege to spend 30 minutes of morning devotions with you every day, Monday through Friday, and I'm thankful to have this chance to spend these moments with you again this morning, first thing in the morning before the day really gets underway, for you to lean your arms upon heaven's windowsill and gaze into the face of our Savior, then with that vision, turn strong to meet your day.
Early in the morning, while the world is still, before the daylight streaks the sky, I would know His will. I commune with Him, my Savior, and listen carefully, and gain the strength I need from Him while praying quietly. Thank You, Lord, for hearing me. Thank You, Lord, for knowing who I am. Thank You, Lord, for seeing me. It's so easy to get lost these days in the shuffle and the noise. Why not try to do this when you wake up in the night and problems race into your mind and sleep becomes a fight? Try this simple method, you soon will gain control, and rest will surely come again, and calm all your soul. In the shuffle and the noise. Thank You, Lord, for hearing me. Thank You, Lord, for knowing who I am. Thank You, Lord, for seeing me. It's so easy to get lost these days in the shuffle and the noise.
When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone, and when evening was now come, His disciples went down into the sea, and entered into a boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing near unto the boat, and they were afraid. But He saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received Him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they went. That's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. How many times have I read it? How many times have you read it? How many times have you heard it preached on? In the Gospel of John, chapter 6. It's also recorded in Matthew 14 and Mark, chapter 6. But I read to you from John, chapter 6. Wonderful to hear the voice of the Savior speaking to us. To hear Jesus speaking to us. You know, down through the centuries, God has spoken to His people, either through dreams or visions, or sometimes audibly, or certainly many times within the heart. in the secret recesses of the soul to hear the voice of God. But down through the centuries, the Lord has spoken to his people. As God said to Job, "Canst thou thunder with a voice like me?" And God has been thundering with his voice many, many times. You remember back in 1 Samuel chapter 3, when Samuel was just a little boy and he was lying on his bed, and Israel had sunk to a new low. I mean, the spiritual tide had gone out. And it seemed that the whole nation was backslidden. Certainly the priesthood was. Eli was. His sons were. Shameful, the things that Eli's sons were doing, unrestrained. And there wasn't much open vision in those days. God was not speaking to people very much, but as little Samuel lay on his bed, he heard a voice audibly that said, "Samuel, Samuel." And immediately he got out of bed and ran in to see Eli, the high priest, and he said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go lie down again, my son." And Samuel lay down, and the voice came again. And this happened three times. "Samuel, Samuel." And the second time, and also the third time, he runs into Eli and said, "Surely thou didst call me, here I am." And Eli said, I didn't call you, go lie down, my son." But on the third time, Eli perceived that it must be God speaking to this little boy. And he said, "Next time you hear the voice calling your name, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" And sure enough, Samuel went and lay down on his bed, and the voice came, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And God spoke to Samuel in an audible voice. And from that moment on, Samuel was established to be a prophet in Israel. It was a new era and a new time period of God's visitation. God spoke to Samuel in a very low tide in the life of Israel, when they were so far away from God. God intervened, and he spoke to this little boy, Samuel. And he was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Then you remember Elijah, when he fled into the wilderness as he was running from Jezebel, who was out to kill him. And Elijah went down into the wilderness and entered a cave. And there came a great wind that rent the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces. But God was not in the wind. And there came an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. Then there came a fire, but God was not in the fire. Then there came a still small voice, and God was there. And God said to Elijah, "What are you doing here?" And poor Elijah said, "Lord, I'm here because you're trying to kill me. They killed everybody else. I'm the only one left. And Jezebel is out to get me." And poor Elijah was so downhearted and discouraged, and he felt like his life was on the line, and everybody else had been slain, and he was the only one left, and they were out to get him too. But God wasn't through with Elijah. He commissioned him to go back into life and to do some more things, one of which was to anoint Elisha to take his place. But God was in the still small voice as he spoke to Elijah in his discouragement. And there was Jacob running away from Esau on his way to Mesopotamia, there on the hilltop of Bethel. I've talked about this so many times because it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Never grow tired of hearing it, thinking about it. Genesis chapter 28, I can almost see him as he's there under the canopy of heaven, homesick, lonely, scared to death, not knowing what the future held for him. And in his human extremity, God spoke to Jacob. In the middle of the night, he sees a dream, and he sees a ladder stretch from earth to heaven, and the angels of the Lord ascending and descending upon it. And God stood above it and spoke to Jacob and said, Jacob, I am the Lord God of your father Abraham and Isaac. I'm going to give you the land upon which you are lying. I will give it to your seed, to your descendants, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to be with you, and I will bring you back home safe and sound. And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. This is none other than the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. And he took the stone that he had used for a pillow and set it upright and poured oil upon it and anointed it and made an altar unto God, a memorial. And he called the name of the place Bethel, which means house of God. But God spoke to Jacob in the midst of his homesickness, loneliness, fear, his human extremity. And on the story goes. God speaking to Moses. He must have sensed that he had a mission in life, a destiny, more than just keeping his father-in-law's sheep that he had been doing for about 40 years. Day after day after day, Moses would take those sheep of his daddy-in-law and he'd go out into the backside of the desert somewhere, anywhere he could find pasture to take care of those sheep. And the years passed. He was just 40 years old when he started doing that. Now he's 80 years old, and he must have felt that he was meant for something more than just herding sheep. But that was 40 years earlier, when he was back in Egypt, when he felt something surging within his heart and soul to bring deliverance to his people. But he had to flee from Egypt, and now he's in the land of Midian. 40 years passed by, but now on this, just another ordinary day, doing his job and taking care of his responsibility, out there in nowhere, God spoke to Moses. The time had come. The time was right. The Lord had heard the oppressing cry of his people, and he appeared in the burning bush and said to Moses, take the shoes from off your feet. Moses, you're standing on holy ground. Thus saith the Lord, I have commissioned you to go down into Egypt and tell Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. God spoke to Moses. And then look at Jonah. There's another one of my favorite stories. I love reading the story of Jonah. Ever since I was a little boy, I've heard of Jonah, and I still enjoy reading it. And I believe everything that happened to him really happened. It wasn't just some parable or fairy tale. I believe with all my heart he was swallowed up by a great big fish, whether you call it a whale or whatever species, or if God just made one special for Jonah. Because it does say that God prepared a fish that came and swallowed Jonah. Who cares what species? Maybe it was only one of a kind, specially prepared by the Lord God. You know, Jesus turned the water into wine. Could not the Lord God make a fish big enough to swallow Jonah and so condition him that he could stay alive for 3 days and three nights? It's God's miracle, not mine. I don't have to understand it. I just believe it. But in his trouble, you remember when he was cast off the ship and then he was swallowed by the big fish? And in his trouble, Jonah prayed and he cried out to God. And he said, out of the belly of hell cried I. And he had the seaweed wrapped around his neck. The situation could not be any more dismal than it was for poor Jonah. And then the Bible says, God spoke to the fish. And the fish vomited up Jonah on dry ground. God spoke to the fish. Oh, when God speaks, things happen. Wouldn't you like for God to speak to your problem, that thing that has swallowed you up whole? Wouldn't you love it if God were to speak to that thing today and bring a release and deliverance to you? Well, let's trust Him for it. Let's believe God that it shall be so. The Lord does speak to us. But my favorite of all is that when I read to you in John chapter 6, when Jesus came to the disciples as they were rowing because the wind was contrary to them and they weren't making any headway at all. And then suddenly there in the dark of the night, they see this shadowy form coming towards them. No wonder they cried out for fear. Walking on the water, this shadowy form, eerie, coming toward them. And they cried out for fear until this voice said, lovingly, reassuredly, "It is I. Be not afraid." Oh, how often have we heard that voice in the midst of confusion and doubts and hurts and disappointments and misunderstandings, when you didn't know what was happening in your life, and then you heard the Lord God speak very clearly and reassuringly, "It is I. Be not afraid." In that hour of bereavement, in that time of loss, in that crisis time of disappointment or failure or whatever, when you don't know what's going on, you know you love God, you know He loves you, and you don't understand what's happening and the form coming toward you in the dark, you don't know what it is or who it is. And then you hear a voice say, "It is I. Don't be afraid." You know, children are sometimes afraid in the dark. Fear gets into their hearts and nerves, and they get into a tremendous state. Then they hear the voice of mother or father, and all is quietened, and they go off to sleep. Well, in our own spiritual experience, it is the same. Some great fear or terror comes down the road to meet us, and our hearts are seized with a tremendous fear. Then we hear our own name called, and the voice of Jesus saying, "It is I, be not afraid." And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, takes possession of our hearts. Oh, speak, Lord, in the stillness while I wait on Thee. Hushed my heart to listen in expectancy. Speak, O blessed Master, in this quiet hour. Let me see Thy face, Lord, feel Thy touch of power. Speak to our hearts, Lord, even as You did to Samuel, to Elijah, to Jacob, to Moses, to Jonah, as You did to Your disciples in the dark of the night there on the Sea of Galilee. Lord, speak to us today. I pray for my friends, wherever they are, whoever is listening in these precise moments. Touch their hearts, Lord God, in a very special way. In some way, somehow, in the midst of their confusion and darkness and sadness and dismay, may they hear the voice of Jesus say, "It is I. Be not afraid."
Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on, yes, lead me on.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Precious Lord, lead me on. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is all
my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Take my hand, precious Lord.
Time is gone. I've enjoyed being with you. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. God bless you.